Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning. And some big news for the Vanderbilt football program over the weekend. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Adam Sparks from the Tennessee. And Adam, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Busy, busy, busy week, right, guys?
I would say so.
Supposed to be UT week this past week. I don't know how we got off track on that.
Good point.
Lots of things going on. Adam Sparks has been a busy man, and Adam, we'll start with the news of the day. Derek Mason fired yesterday. We're sitting there watching the Titans game. The news comes out that Vanderbilt is moving in a different direction. What was your reaction to Derek Mason being fired, and why make the move now?
Well, I thought over maybe the past week this was going to happen. It was just a matter of when it was going to happen. You know, I think the changing of the UT game affected the date to some extent. You know, under the previous schedule, you know, they would have played UT this past Saturday, and then you could have made a decision or an announcement after that. That's a game that Derek Mason had the most success of any Vandy coach in a century, really. You give him that game, see if maybe he can win it. If he doesn't, you make the announcement when you did yesterday. When the game got moved to either the 12th or the 19th, then you just couldn't wait that long because then signing day starts on the 16th, signing period does, and so you'd have those recruits in limbo or maybe lose almost all the class. So that sped up the decision to now, and it didn't shock me. You know, it does tell you a little bit that Vandy maybe is moving in a little bit of different direction the past few years because they fired Bryce Drew with a different AD, granted, but fired Bryce Drew with 3 years left in his contract. Derek Mason, I think, had three left in his contract. And so, you know, the idea of Vandy firing only coaches as lame duck coaches whose contracts are about to expire, that narrative may be running a little old now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, at some point, everyone in college athletics is going to fire people and then pay them for years afterward, right? I mean, it's like college athletics tradition. But, Adam, I want to get right to your thoughts instantly. How about your first thought of who should be the next coach or who you think might be the next coach? What are the names that are jumping out at you?
Well, those are two different questions because the first guy that jumps out to me is Clark Lee, the Notre Dame defensive coordinator, former Vandy player from this area, tied into Nashville Steel with family and elsewhere. That seems to be the obvious guy. He's at 38 years old. He would fit in instantly as a guy that will be a candidate for other jobs. But as you and I know, usually the guy that you think would be the perfect fit is not the guy that ends up with it. Either they're not interested or something in the interview process goes awry. It's just rarely the guy that you think. And I think at Vanderbilt that's the case too. I think the more important thing is who wants the job and you know, what kind of job is this? I mean, you know, Will Healy, does he come looking this way? He's pretty young. He's an up-and-coming coach, but you know, he's 35 years old. Jamie Chadwell has an undefeated team at Coastal Carolina. He's in his 30s, I believe. Both of those guys could say, hey, this is my next step. This is an SEC job, albeit a low SEC job. But they could also look at it and say, I'm on the rise, and I could be jumping to some other school within the next year or so. If I go to Vanderbilt and I don't succeed to the extent that you need to there, maybe to a James Franklin level or a little under that, then I stop everything in my career. So there is a little bit of a cautious approach with some coaches. I'm interested if they look at Charlie Strong. I know people think he's kind of past his prime, but, you know, he was a head coach for a long time. It brings instant credibility to the position. He's a guy that pretty much had the job back in the early 2000s. And if you've read things about Charlie Strong over the years, he said there was some hesitation, the fact he was an African-American coach and some of his background there. You know, that's not the case now. The last 10 years they've had two African-American coaches. I think that'll still be a consideration here. Charlie Strong's at Alabama as an analyst. The Nick Saban, you know, reboot your coaching career, head coaching career prospects. He's in that program there, and maybe they look at him.
Oh, Butch is too, so I mean – Who knows, right? I mean, any Nick Saban analyst intern could be. How about that? What fun would that be?
That sounds like a good reality show, right? You go in and hand a rose to whichever Nick Saban analyst is out there for you.
Oh, man. That's actually a great idea. Well, you hit a point there, Adam, that I want to follow up on, because a year ago, Malcolm Turner was the AD, and he put out a statement about why he didn't fire Derek Mason after that 3-9 season, or maybe it was like late in the 3-9 season, but, you know, the loss to UNLV. I mean, there was momentum for it, but I thought he made a fair point, which is you can keep kicking the can and changing coaches, but you've got to change what this is, and you got to build the infrastructure and facilities and fundraising, all the things we talk about over and over with Vanderbilt. So do you think that ends up, I guess, deterring, you know, possible good candidates here? I mean, I know that if I was one of those people, I would be asking all those questions.
Well, I think if they had kept Derek Mason, it would have been reasonable from that standpoint that you're saying. I think there's also an element, though, of kicking two cans down the road. Well, we can't do, you know, we can't fire the coach because we've got to do something with facilities. Well, there's no use to do anything with facilities until we get the right coach. And I think that's kind of in the predicament that they were in. You know, if you're a pessimist, you look at this and say, well, they're just going to get a new coach, and that's going to give them another, you know, 3, 4, 5 years to do anything with facilities, because they have their coach. What do they need to do facilities to attract a coach? They already have one, a new one. On the other hand, you could see that from the positive side of, if you are trying to get the right coach, you're going to have to follow through on some of these promises with facilities. Otherwise, you know, you could lose them, or you're going to have something more concrete on paper to get the right person. It's always going to be the question at Vandy with facilities. I think the big question is if Candace Lee can get something done with that. You know, I've got a piece on Tennessean.com right now we put up this morning about what the new coach needs to know. And, you know, number one on that list is you will be promised facilities in the interview process. Keep in mind, those have been promised for decades, and they've rarely been delivered. James Franklin got an indoor practice facility. He got that after 3 years, and he actually didn't see it to complete fruition, but he got that. That's about the only example over decades that something has come through. So they're going to have to be cautious about that, and anybody that comes for that job is going to hear that. And then they're going to make a few phone calls and say, you were promised this also, right? They didn't come through with it. You know, Candace Lee's got to be believable on this.
Adam Sparks from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Adam, where does Derek Mason go from here? What do you think his future looks like in college football?
College football probably, maybe the NFL. He had a little time with the Vikings back in the day. I think some of his, some of his philosophy and his 3-4 scheme, and I think he can make a really good secondary coach. Some of that ties as much to the NFL, I think, as college, but. You know, it's funny when you see these things is that, and I know Twitter isn't real life, but you see it is somewhat perception. And since he got fired, you saw people that said, okay, you know, it's about time, or he needed to go or something. And then you also saw everybody else in the SEC around college football fans say, okay, now go get him as our defensive coordinator. So he's respected as that type of guy. I think he's going to have a few paths. He could be a DC at a Power 5 job. I don't think you'll have trouble getting that. He could be a head coach at a mid-major. I think that may take a year. He may sit out for a little while, or he could end up a position coach in the NFL. I think he's going to have some pretty good options.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think, like you said, he'd be a DC right now very successfully. That's how he got this job. And I hope Derek Mason gets another chance to be a head coach. I'd love to see Derek Mason as a head coach at a place that isn't way – you know, behind its conference peers in terms of resources. I mean, that's just the reality of this job. Adam, meanwhile, history was made Saturday, and the news just won't stop coming on your beat here, but Sarah Fuller, the first woman to take a snap in a Power 5 game, obviously a massive, you know, news story nationally. Also, some reaction to that, which just made me want to pull the rest of my hair out. So I'm asking you for help to, first of all, like the idiotic stuff about like, this is like some publicity stunt to try to save Mason's job or whatever. just please help me debunk that, but also what was your overall reaction to the story, the situation, the reaction?
I never like to help you on social media. I love to see you just get in a fist fight. And I'll sit on the sideline.
I know you do. I know you do.
I mean, there's so much nuance in this. And, you know, I asked Derek Mason the lead question in the press conference the other day about if this was a social statement or a football decision. And here's kind of where I'll go with this, is it was a football decision. They didn't have students on campus. You know, there's not a men's soccer team. She's a viable option. She can kick. They went with her, and I think they'll go with her again this week. And it was a viable football option, but he also understood the social statement of it. You can have the benefit, so to speak, of it being a social statement that you agree with, and Derek Mason liked the fact of that, but that not be your major motive. So it's somewhere in between. He did it for a football thing, but it ended up being something different. It's, you know, I mean, there's far extremes on this. It's, you know, they brought her in to be the kicker, and that's fine. You know, it's not, I think some people are jumping to the conclusion that, well, you know, next year it's going to be, you know, 50-50 men and women on college football teams. That's not going to happen. She's a kicker. She's a capable athlete. You know, as far as the safety things go, she's 6'2" and strong, and it's fine. It's fine. That's usually what I ask people when they call me and they say, "What do you think about this?" And I just say, "It's fine. What else do you want me to say?" you know, I mean, now, you know, can she kick? Here's the thing we need to judge it on: can she kick? Aside from the social statements, if she can kick, then she needs to be out there. We haven't seen much of it aside from practice and one squib kick she had. If she can't kick to the, you know, to what they need her to do, then she's not going to be there much longer. That's how you would judge a guy. That's how they'll judge her. Right now, she looks to be their best option.
Adam Sparks from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, I want to toss something your way, a name that you've thrown out there in terms of a potential coaching candidate for Vanderbilt, and that is Jeff Fisher, former Titans head coach. What do you make of maybe that match between Jeff Fisher and Vanderbilt?
Could he succeed there? Maybe, probably. I mean, whatever success is at Vandy now. Here's the thing with Jeff Fisher, though, is that I've heard Jeff Fisher's name thrown around 100 times over the last, I'd say, 3 years. And 100 out of 100 has come from somebody seeking that job for Jeff Fisher. Well-intended, you know. People around him, saying, I think he should get the job. He'd be a good fit for the job. I haven't heard any from the Vandy side. So, you know, if you're looking to go out on a date and, you know, one person is texting and calling and emailing and whatever they do now, one person's doing it and the other one hasn't yet, I tend to think the chances are less. Could he be a candidate? Yeah, I've only heard it from Jeff Fisher's camp. I haven't heard any of that from Vanderbilt's camp.
That sounds about right.
Adam Sparks from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, great stuff, man. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to the firing of Derek Mason and hear from you, Vandy fans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Where does Vanderbilt go from here? That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.